Yasher Koyach, everybody, for joining us. This might be an event that is marking the 50th yahrzeit of the world-famous Machshkeach of Chaskel Lovenstein, Zatzal. And really, Lefi Kvodo should be, you know, should rent out the MetLife Stadium and have the whole Olam HaTorah give kavod to the manig, the leader that really led the yeshiva world from Europe to America, Chatzkel was a leader of the Mir Yeshiva through Shanghai through all the years. I spoke with Rabbi Neumann just before. His father-in-law, Rav Zabari Zatzal, was a Talmud who went through the Mir through Shanghai. And the family told me two stories. One story was through his travels, he's traveling, you know, constantly on the run. One morning, during one shul, he left his tefillin in there. Later in the day, the shul was seized. There went his tefillin. And he had to move with the yeshiva, traveling, and he didn't have a pair of tefillin for weeks. He was putting on without, you know, borrowing someone's pair. When Chatzkel found out about it, he himself went and bought this young Reb Zabari a pair of tefillin. Similarly, they told the story of how they used to sleep on these boxcars of these trains. And it wasn't even an Amtrak train. They're literally sleeping on the floor, and it was very tough. And again, this young Reb Zabari didn't have a blanket. Chatzkel had a blanket, and he gave it to this Talmud. And the message that the family gave was that Chatzkel treated every Talmud like he was family. I think it's appropriate that tonight we have the schus to hear both from the mishpacha of a Talmud and the mishpacha of family of Reb Chatzkel. We have the schus, call them Nahal, Beis Yaakov, Ephraim Lazershin, to say a few words about Reb Chatzkel.
The truth of the matter is, thank you very much, over here. The truth is that I don't know that much. I'm not a big expert in Reb Chatzkel. I never saw Reb Chatzkel, but he had a lot to do with me. He had a lot to do with my existence in this world. My father, Zatzal, was a bocher from Poland, and he learned in Baranovich by Rabbi Chanan, and he went with a group to the Mir. It was the youngest group in Mir Yeshiva. Some people whose good friends were Haverim, they went on the same train, Reb Shmuel Birnbaum, Reb Aaron Kreiser, and a bunch of others. It was a whole group. They went to the Mir. And Reb Lazy Yudelfinkel was the Rashiva, and Reb Chatzkel was the big personality. He was the Mashgiach of the Yeshiva. And my father was so enthralled with the idea of going to Yeshiva. The Bokram had a little bit more of a hasaga of learning than our American Bokram today, where whenever there's a cold front or something, you know, they go home for the weekend. My father made up that he wants to stay in learning and totally, and he doesn't want to go home for 5 years. He's not going home for 5 years. He really wants to stay in learning, and he was really orangutan in his learning. And he told me that after 3 years, he started to get homesick. He was a young bacher. I think he was about 18 when he went. He was around 21 now. He was a young bacher, and he wanted to go home. He started to miss his family. Obviously, they didn't have any communications like we have today. They probably wrote letters once in a while, and he didn't have that much any shaykhus at all. And he went to the mashkiach. He wanted to leave at the end of the zman, after Tisha B'Av. He wanted to leave and stay home. When they went home, they didn't just go home for a few days. It was a whole trip to go home. He wasn't right near the yeshiva. And he wanted to go home for Elul. Go home after Tisha B'Av and stay till after Yom Kippur, after Sukkot, and come back. That was a normal thing to do, apparently, at that time. And after 3 years of not being there, of not seeing his parents and his grandparents and his large family of siblings, and his new little sister who he never saw, who was born in the meantime, he went, asked Reb Chatzkel permission, got the okay to go, and Reb Chatzkel said, no, you can't go home. Get a vek from yeshiva in Elul? It was like a foreign concept to leave, no matter how warm he was at home. So Rabbi Chatzkel gave him an alternative. He says, Enichanami, you should go home. Stay for Elo and stay for Yom Narayim. After Yom Kippur, you can go home and stay a while. Don't come back right after Sukkot. You can stay for a few weeks after Sukkot. During that Elo, Hitler and Stalin, Yamach Shemam Vizikram, they made their partition. They made a deal, if you know the origins of the war. And my father's family got stuck on Hitler's side. And everybody was killed. His parents, his grandparents, his cousins, his uncles, and his. He was one of 10 children. Two of his sisters managed to escape, and they survived and wound up in Eretz Yisrael. And the rest of them were killed. And he was a Mir Yeshiva, and the Mir Yeshiva story is well known. They went across the Soviet Union by train, and they were there in Japan for half a year. They were 5 years in Shanghai. And then they crossed the Pacific Ocean by boat, and then they crossed the United States by train. I remember, just parenthetically, my mother used to always tell my father, you know, people going on vacations, they used to call it traveling, the sightseeing. My father used to tell her, I'm really sorry, Yachab Shainalski Zen. He crossed the Soviet Union, he crossed the Pacific Ocean, he crossed the United States. I'm really sorry. He was very apologetic. He thinks he saw everything already. I also, parenthetically, now that we're talking on the train going to Russia, through Russia, through the Soviet Union, which took about 2 weeks, or close to 2 weeks, somebody wrote an article, some journalist was on the same train. He was on his way to the Far East, and he wrote an article. He said, the strangest thing, there were these young men that were in the train, and they had these large books, and they're studying them, or they're reading them, they're screaming at each other the whole time. They're yelling, screaming, fighting with each other. And then after they put it down, they're laughing and joking. He just couldn't figure out the whole thing. But I asked my father, what did you do? What did you do on the train for 2 weeks? What did we do? We did what we do. We learned. Whenever I asked him something, what did you do in Shanghai? What did you do after the Purim Sutta? What did you do? What do you mean? We went after the Spanish. What else did they have to do? That's what we did. That's what they did. They were studying and learning the whole time. And Baruch Hashem, it was Hashkacha Al-Yayin, and everybody knew the Hashkacha of Mir Yeshiva being saved, but 300 or 400 Tamidei Chachamim that came as a group, and they had such hashpa on the door. So when this past Shabbos, I read that this week is going to be Reb Chatzkel's 50th yard site. So right after Havdalah, I called Rabbi Cheskel Ginsberg. I said, so what are you doing about the yard site? What are you doing about it? I don't know, what did you say? I don't know. I said, you have to do something. I remember, Taka, when I moved to Florida, the first year I was here, maybe it was the first year of Yitzhaka, maybe it was the second year, it was the 100th yard site of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. And also, people gathered together in somebody's house in Ramitra. Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zatzal, was here. At the time, it was in the winter. He used to come for 6 weeks every winter. And he was schmooze, it was a whole. And that also, in the back of my mind, I was thinking of that too. So when I mentioned to Rabbi Kier that I have a shaykh, so he saw you have to speak. So it was an unprepared speech. I'm really sorry. But it's a big schus, a very big schus. In our house, it's Ongenum, and it's Mekubal that he said, we're here because of Rabbi Chatzkel, the Mashkiach. And he saved my father's life, and Mela, we're all here. So therefore, for me, it's a special schus and a covet to be here, and to be even a little bit part of this Asifa is very special. And thank you very much for hosting it.
Chatzkel Ginsberg. First of all, for Rabbi Lazerson for being really, I mean, if not for him, this would not have happened. It's only because of him that we're here. And Shkoyach to Rabbi Kier and the Shiva for allowing this, and Adu Rabbi more than allowing, inviting it, and being excited about it. Shkoyach Barak for coming. But first, we'll stop just to tell Avek why, or at least why I'm standing here, that this is obviously not a hesped, not shalach for anybody in our door, Bechlal, to talk about, you know, a person from a Fidei Kedar, Kolshkin, a person who was such a, you know, they say, Avshach by Chatzkel Zavai said that if
If Reb Chaim would have lived 500 years ago, he would have been a Noivet Hashem, 500 years ago. That's what Shach said. So obviously it's not Minyan Bechlal to be Maspid, but just, I feel, you know, throughout my life, because I'm a Ben Mishpacha, so people tell me stories and Mises and going up to the house, so I see myself Pashut as a Keli. Pashut, there's some things that, you know, come through me, and if it come to anybody else, and they're in a Seir, so then that would be, that's really what will be the Tehillos. So, first I want to start, Reb Chas was known as a quintessential Baal Musar from the Baalim Musar. So, I want to talk a little bit about what it means, a Baal Musar, what people think a Baal Musar is, just to give a little bit of background. You know, everything's a Baal Musar, somebody who works himself all the time, and he's very intense and very, you know, self-focused on himself and working on himself. And then, you know, everybody knows this machlokes about Torah and Musar and how much of each. So I heard once that they once asked Reb Chatzka, they asked him, you know, you give shmuzin, and all your shmuzin you talk about your Shemayim, about Amunah, about Mitzias Mitzrayim, all in Zachem. How come you never speak about Torah, about learning Torah? How come you never talk about that? He says, Devos Lenish, someone's not learning. Read the Bechlan of Shem. I'm not talking to him at all. Someone's not learning. He said, Bechlan of Shem. He said, that's not Avada. We're talking about Torah. But the first thing is to be, you know, Arangatun Alam. That's the first thing. You know, Reb Chaim himself. So my father told me that once, my father learned by Reb Shmuel Birnbaum. As all the Zechel learned by Reb Shmuel Birnbaum. Anybody who knew Reb Shmuel Birnbaum a little bit, knew that the first, you know, main thing, the only thing real that mattered was how big of a lamdan are you? That's the main thing. You have to be a lamdan. That's, you know, obviously number one. So, you know, he used to talk about all this. You know, if they stay up Thursday night, why? Not to finish himself. That's one thing that matters. So, one time my father was sitting with a few bachrim, and they were schmoozing. They came up to Reb Chatzkel. So, my father said something which sounded like, I don't know, how did Reb Chatzkel know how to learn? What was he saying? What is the main side? Is it Nishnek in London? He was upsetting him. What do you think? Of course, this is obvious. This is number one. No, you know, he used to learn the Chavusa. There is a Saul Kamenovich, as a sperm, Oli Yeshua. They were Chavusas. They learned together. I don't know for how long, but they were Chavusas together, I think, in the Mir in Minetzi. So I'm not sure where it was. There's a Sefer Oil Yitzchak on Gittin that has like a lot of Torah from a lot of Gedolim. So he has Torah from Chatzkel there on the, you know, in the Sefer Zach that he heard the Chavusa Shat. So some, you know, we want to become Baal Musar Shleimim. That's obviously number one. And another thing, I saw a book, somebody, Rabbi Elazar Reich, by Israel's grandfather. He has a book about letters that he wrote from Eretz Yisrael. In the 1950s, he was there, he had shots with a lot of gedolim. So he writes there, he says that, you know, this week I met Reb Chatzkel and he came over to me and he asked me a bunch of questions. Such a nice man, such a nice person. Because I'm not really hear so much about it, but the Meister, that was them, it was those in Bethlehem, said there was so much good sky, so much hatava for another, you know, we heard the stories that they said. These were the bread and butter of what, you know, of what Baal Musar is. You know, when Reb Chatzkel was nifter, so I heard over that Shlomo Volbe said, was the Yid Given? What was he? He said, the Yid Given a 1,000 Kabbalas. That's what he was. He was 1,000 Kabbalas. You know, we think to yourself, like, how does a person vax? And some people think, okay, maybe they had this kind of nature. They were tzaddikim from when they were day one, you know. And maybe at some point, okay, when they were 30, 40, whatever it was, they reached the diagram, that was it. So no, Kabbalas, that was the whole life. My grandmother lived in America, and Reb Chatzkel moved to Eretz Yisrael. So she used to travel every few years to go visit her father. So she came back, people would ask, he says, you know, how is your father, you know, what's if I look to you? She said, mer mer via malach. Every time I come, he's more and more like a malach. It means he was nifted at 88, so she came, he was 83 years old, he still became more of a malach. From 83 to 86, he became a bigger malach. That means he was constantly learning, constantly, you know, steigen avodas das Hashem. There was no time to stop, and there was, and you know, for us, the limited sight that we always need, you know, there's never time to stop, and it's never too late. We always could steigen and you know, vax more and more. you know, they say that talk about the Chaskel was as an over Hashem, as a person who was, you know, constantly steigen and vaxing. So what was he miyuchid? What was he special? What was his you know, his nekuda. So the Welt knows that the Chazon Ish gave a hagdara about three Baal Musar. So he said that Rab Dessler has a munah held in the Moyach, in the Kop, the Valdeke Machshav of Dessler, said the Rebbe Pan has it in his lave, in his hearts, the way he used to speak, how he'd mo'er everybody. And Abchatz got this in the hand. He has a munah, you could feel it in the hand. You could feel the munah. Let's talk about a little bit, you know, what the Pchatzka would say, but to bring out for, you know, about him, what was his emuna biyad? What does that mean? So there's a yid of Meir Heisler in Eretz Yisrael. He's a Talmud of a Pchatzka. Valdik, a yid, I watched him daven. It was like, I remember sitting in Chibin on Chov Chanadeh. He was davening Kabbal Shabbos. I mean, you see how people like a mushpa, it's something you have to see. It's hard to describe it. But he told me once that Pchatzel gave a shmuz. He said the shmuz who says Pashas Noyach, and he opened up the chumash and he says this state a pasuk da state the Noyach motzachein bein Hashem state as a mensch ailud isha can give him a chein by the boy yolam. It's a pasuk chumash the Noyach motzachein bein Hashem Noyach. By the bench, and he said for the entire shmuz, that was the whole shmuz. He kept him going back and forth. It's, but the pasuk chumash says, "Benoyach motzachin chen chen." Right, we can chen. The image was noyach motzachin bein Hashem, and the whole shmuz is a spineless that it could be that a person can see his chen by the bench. So the question is, but by us, it's a pasuk. So the pasuk noyach motzachin. That's what it says. It's got to be no. Because when you have and when you know what I'm when know. When you have Emes Amunah, what the Bernish Lelem is, and also I say, how could it be a Yilud Isha? Tipa Sruch is going to become Moich Motzachim. What's a Pasuk? Because by him, it was everything was real. The Noyach was real, the Motzachim was real, the Bernish Lelem, everything was real. So maybe it was Gevalda Kehashpod that he had. There's a Pasuk, it says, I'm actually thinking it's in Mishle, the Pasuk says, Al Toymar, that the Hayyamim Eshahoyu Mimei Kedem, were a toiv meyela. Person can think that Amol, the generation Amol was better than today. Paul says, "Ki loy mechachma shalat zeis, loy mechachma." It's not a true statement. So Chas says a type which is marvel al Ryan, and Master Megala on what he was. He says, "What's the trying the pasuk? What pasuk means?" He says, "Everybody, this famous of Yaakov Emden says that I'm trying to find it. I couldn't find it, but he says in Akdama to the Siddur he writes." That Chai Nafshi says, when I'm misbunning and I think about the fact that Klal Yisrael survived thousands of years, Kisva Achas Ben Shivim Ze'evim. So he says, this Nais to me is greater than the Nisim Kiyas Yamsuf of Yitzhias Mitzrayim, Kabbalah, everything that happened, the Midbar, this Nais is greater than other Nisim. So he says, you're going to say, ooh, I wish it would have been in the Dordaya, I wish it would have been in Yitzhias Mitzrayim. So the question, please. Tis Mitzrayim, we have the Seich. We also have Tis Mitzrayim. Maimon Asinim, we have the Seich. Kiyas Yamsuf, we have everything. And we have something that they didn't have. They did not have what the Yaakov Emden says. So we have more Tishtayg and Amunah than they have. So Lai Mechach Mashat Azayis. We're much better than they are. So it's Ma'al, the Pshat is, but he felt himself, I have a Tis Mitzrayim just like they did. Just like the people went out of Tis Mitzrayim, I was there too. I was by Hasinai too. I got them under, I had everything. Through his avoid on the moon of chushes that the pshas that he felt as if it was real, it was mitzias. Today's generation is much better in that nakuda. It says this is my grandma used to say that she was when she was a young girl she was very scared of cats. So Pchaskel told us, "You know what Gehenim is? Gehenim is a cat with green eyes." He said, "Mama, to give me that chush of pshas." This is, you know, Bahim was a Metzis. You know, what the Zach was Metzis. There was I heard once there was a Yid, I think, basically, he knew Reb Chaska from years before, and he came there to Yisrael, maybe to retire. So he wanted, you know, Reb Chaduch, the Chaska, what he should do with his business. So I heard a story of this in the back of the Smedish in Ponovich, and Reb Chaska standing by the bench there. And the Yid starts talking to him, and he tells him, should I sell the business? Should I give it over to my kids? Should I do this? So Pchas is listening. Finally, he loses patience, and he says, Ich weiß nicht. Du warst gut für ein Netzach, he says. Du warst gut für ein Netzachis. I know your Cheshmer, hin Cheshmer, du warst gut für ein Netzachis. Because by him, by us, the Cheshmer, what's real? Real is, you know, what should I do with my business? Should I sell? Should I buy? Should I do? You know, what am I going to do? By him, this is a Netzachis. You know, du warst gut für ein Netzach. That's one thing that matters. This I think was his, you know, how he, it's hard for us to feel it, but what we hear and what we see from his Torah, everything is this nukuda that everything in Yiddishkeit, everything Torah, everything the emuna, everything was you could feel it with his hands, you could feel it with the mitzvahs, you could feel it the way it is, not just the way in the mind, or it was mamashis. So just but to go over just a little bit what we could, you know, as people who try to strive for Musa, strive for Avodas Hashem. So just put it, the Chazal, these nukudas, that first of all something that obviously the first Erchazach is Torah, Zayna Lamdin is knowing how to learn, that's number one. And number two is that there's always the whole life, there's a whole life of striving, a whole life of working, a whole life of Tosin Kabbalah, Snacha Kabbalah, Nocha Kabbalah. And then to work on this Avodah of to make that everything should be real, that Musa should be real, Torah should be real. Like a full old Steig Epsos, even a little bit, would be a schuss. Schreiber, come and listen.